is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So here's how the final hour today sets up. I've got Drake London, a wide receiver with the Falcons, coming up at 11:40 via Zoom. Before we do that, though, we have got a fat beef segment. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there's the proverbial knock on the plastic tower. There it all is. The old-fashioned, the peppered, the teriyaki, all right there. I love it. Locked up. You need the key to get in. We smashed every single day. All right, so what's your beef? You can beef about anything you want. I do not care. Sports, non-sports, personal, professional, anything, past, present, future. Beef, bring it to me. I'm here for it. Let's start with the phones. Running through the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Clint in Mississippi is going to set the tone. What's going on, Clint? What is your beef?
Hey, Mr. Rome. Yeah, my beef is with TSA agent. I was in Atlanta last week trying to get my connection to Grafenberg, and the guy asked me, "Sir, you know you can't wear your cap backwards like that." And I said, "Well, is that a security issue?" He goes, "No, it's a 'cause you're over 30 years old issue." Well, isn't that a fine howdy-do?
My man, that is a fine howdy-do. That's incredible. You know who once hit me with that in public? When I had my lid flipped around backwards? Years ago. You won't believe this. You know who told me to turn my hat around when I saw him in public? Pete Rose. In the valley, I saw Pete. He's like, "Yo, Romy, what's up? Hey, man, turn your hat around." True story. Isn't that a howdy-do? A TSA agent told him to turn his hat around, and not because it was a security issue, but because he was over the age of 30. Amazing. Let's go to Sacktown. Like, this will not be amazing. I already know this. Let's go to Sacktown. Ryan in Sacktown. Yo, Ryan, I can't wait. What's your beef?
Hey, what's up, JR? My beef is with Mike and La Quinta. Mike, until yesterday, I thought you resided at that seedy motel chain with free breakfast that I, Ray, wouldn't touch. But here's the deal, bellboy. Keep Sacktown out your mouth, or I'll show up in your first world city, withdraw $20, and crash your entire banking system. And oh yeah, room 22 is still waiting on shower caps. Out.
Ryan, 1-800-636-8686. Mike and La Quinta did take a run at Ryan yesterday. Let's go to Michigan. We're running through phone calls. Carl in Michigan. Carl, good to have you. What's your beef?
Hey, Van Smack, thanks for the vine. I got pedestrian beef. Jim, my beef is with these stop signs outside the store. Jim, your mom and my mom taught us to stop and look both ways before we cross. Now these people just walk right out in front of you. Not only that, Jim, they walk slow. And they walk at a diagonal. I mean, a position player's fastball thinks they're slow. Jim, war Michael Block at the Colonial, and war our hopes pinned on the Lions. I'm out.
All right, Carl. He had a beef on peds. Literally. Pedestrian beef. That's different. Let's try Arizona. Chris in Arizona, good to have you. Chris, what's your beef?
What's good, Jim Rome? Let me tell you, my beef is with Brad and Corona. And let me set this up by just comparing it to these superstar players in the NBA who have no killer instinct. They're unable to step up at the level we expect because they've been told, like, since they were nine, that every loss, you know, it's not really a failure. You're just learning, and you're a champion. No one can take that away from you. And now they're making all this money, which is great for them, but it's bad for me. It's bad.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like, dude, that made no sense whatsoever.
Not a very good call.
If you're coming at the GOAT, it's one thing to say you best not miss. But if you're coming at the GOAT, you best be at least coherent. What kind of an argument was that? Not that Bradley needs me to defend him. I just need your argument to make sense, and that did not. All right, keep it moving. 1-800-636-8686. You callers are not having the best day. Maybe it'll get better now. Let's try Vegas. Dino. Dino, what's your beef? Dino? All right, Dino, now you're done. No. That didn't make it better.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
All right, Tommy, I know you're working pretty hard. Should we stay with the calls or change up and hope to change our luck? Let's go to Madison. Great town. Good things happen there. Pete in Madtown. Pete, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. My beef is with the architect who designed the building I work in. So in the men's room, they've got the door swinging open to the right, inward into the room. And then right behind that door on the right-hand wall, they put the hand dryer. So if you're standing there hand-drying your hands, door opens, you get hit with the door. This guy's some kind of genius.
Yeah, how'd they push that through? That's kind of weird. I wonder if our son Jake, who does work in Madison, who loves his job, is dealing with something similar. Is that a Madison thing or just that one architect? Who didn't catch that? All right, not our best call day beef-wise. I want to change up. Let's go to the written beef, see if that helps. Hey, Jim. Didn't we already have this beef exchange? Here it is again. My beef is with Ryan in Sucktown. I usually do not go after clones, but this idiot has earned it. Ryan. Didn't we read this yesterday? Is this the exact same one, Tommy? Ryan, I know that you think you're hilarious when you practice your smack in the bathroom mirror in your grandma's basement in Sacramento. That whole first part of it is the same. I'm going to skip that. You know what? This is not a good beef segment so far. This one says, my beef is with blinkerless lane changer guy. Has the task of flipping the blinker handle up or down become too stressful? Which way are you going, D-bags? I kind of need to know, and it's not asking too much. Sammy in H-Town. Wells, my beef is with carrot cake. What a stupid-ass dessert. If I wanted to eat vegetables, I would eat vegetables during dinner. Don't go and ruin dessert by making some cake for carrots. Yeah, I don't know, Wells. They smother the carrots with sugar and cream cheese. Bro, you could use carrots. A lot of them. And as long as they're going to let you eat them and mix them in with the dessert, you should be rejoicing. It's not Brussels sprouts cake. You're making no sense, dude. Per usual. Hey, Jim, my beef is with mosquitoes. What the hell is their ecological purpose? To be bat food and annoy humans. They are the little pieces of poop in the bucket of ice cream that is the animal kingdom. Best, Will in Erie. Jim, my beef is with ice. Why is it that when I purchase ice, a bag of frozen water, the cubes are welded together in search of a luxury liner? It's a great line, actually. He goes on, I find myself having to OJ the bagged iceberg into little crystals. Now I have shredded water, and my wife is pissed because her socks are wet from the puddles on the floor. Tim in Clifton Park, well done. Tim is good, dude. Tim in Clifton Park is pretty clever. I like what he brings to it. Hey, Rome, I have a beef with the new guy in the office. Dude is wearing no less than 15 of those bead or friendship bracelets. Hey, I get it. If your daughter made one for you, or if you wear one for a loved one that passed away, but 15 freaking bracelets? Come on, bag. You're not a high school kid. Be a professional. Aaron in Iowa. Romy Rome. My beef is with coworkers bringing me food that they've made. I appreciate the gesture, Karen. But after hearing stories of your three cats, I think I'm going to pass on your hairball brownies. Patrick in Alabama. Rome, my beef is with LaFlop. Does this dude suffer from an inner ear problem? How in the world does somebody who goes 6'9", 250 plus get pushed around like a tackling dummy? Get off the floor, play basketball. Mike in Minneapolis at Shaggy Mac, Tan Smack. I got beef with my new helper who thinks he can slough off during your show so he can hear you better. Get to work, kid, or it's going to be, if you're getting ready for work right now, your name probably isn't Liam. Come on, man. Cut Liam some slack. It's making him a better worker. It's making him a better human being. Rome, my beef is with graduated college guy. As in, my son or daughter just graduated college. Students do not graduate colleges. Colleges graduate students. English 101. Come on, do better. Alan, don't do that. Alan at 505, don't do that, Alan. Come on, man. Do you want to be that guy? Really? I know I said you can have a beef about anything you want, but not that. Rome, I have beef with my mom. Still in contact with my ex-girlfriend. Hey, mom. I know you always wanted a daughter, but get over it. I did. Todd, no longer in Hermosa Beach. That's interesting. That's not, like, original, but that's interesting. You know, Dodger Jano is still in contact with some of the boys' exes. But the boys' exes don't have a problem because they're nice gals. It just didn't work out. Everybody is mature. I'll leave it at that. James Rome III. Actually, there is no James Rome III because there is no James Rome II. I have a grievance with the repetitive plot lines in the show Succession. Will a deal get done? Will the board approve? Does Shiv have ulterior motives? We get it. Please move the story along. Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. Beauregard, is the show not done? I'm an ep or two behind, but is the show not already done, effectively? But I know what you're saying. It can. I love the show, but it can be a little repetitive. Drew in West LA, I got a beef with red velvet cake. It's just chocolate with red food coloring. Well, I'll give you this, Drew. Not great, but better than the fat guy's carrot cake take. Fat. Hey, Jim, my beef is with the beef segment. More of us and less of you. Never a good formula. Rob in Green Bay. Not today, that's for sure. Normally, it's great. War the 25 draft. All right, let's get back to the phones. See if we can salvage something. Let's go to Texas. Jay in Texas. Good to have you. Jay, what's your beef?
Romy, a couple months ago, I called about sex versus the great equalizer. And I wanted to let you know that my wife has a beef with me about making that call. So kind of like what I understand from you and Jan, my wife's super cool. We get along well, but every once in a while, I'll do something and she kind of lays me out for it. So when I called about sex versus the great equalizer, I played it back for her on the pod. And the first thing she said was, wait, that was you, because I used a fake name. And I said, yeah. So I started backpedaling, and then her response was, what is the great equalizer? And I told her. So she said, you left the frat house about 30 years ago. Now you're calling a national, I think, sports radio show to talk about sex and diarrhea. Then she proceeded to ask me if the Rome guy was married and wondered what his wife thought about it, called me daddy frat boy for a weekend, and then finished with, Stephen Smith would never put up with that call. Yes, Stephen Smith. So my wife had a beef with me acting a little out of school, Romy, and I thought you might enjoy how that worked out for me.
Actually, I did, Jay. I enjoyed that a lot. Well done, Daddy Frat Boy. I did enjoy that. I love that he played it back for her, and then she started to kind of disseminate the whole thing like, wait, that was you. That wasn't fake you. That was actual you. And what is the great equalizer? And you combine sex and diarrhea and you call it a show with it? And quote, Stephen Smith would never put up with that? Maybe not. Hey, I don't recall Did I put up with that, or did I? Anyway, good recap. 1-800-636-8686. Well, I'm going to fight through it. That actually got us back on track. Let's go to Tucson. Johnny, it's a beef segment. Johnny, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. My beef is with my head of hair and you. I'm the same age as you, and I got gray hair. You don't have a gray hair on your head. And also that guy that called you Matthew McConaughey.
What about him? You're bent that somebody thinks that I look like Matthew McConaughey? The funny thing about it is, guys don't call me that. Women do, though. And I don't really know why. And it's not one, and it's not two. It's happened multiple times. And in terms of me not having a gray hair on my head, I got a few. Dude, you need a better plan. I've got, like, an amazing stylist. I'm not going to lie to you. And I try to work out. And I've got decent, not great, decent genetics. And most of all, even though Father Time is a mother believer and has never lost, I try to push back. I try to fight back. You can. Stay in the fight, yo. Push back. Push back against Father Time. Push back against the deterioration. Do some work. Move. Throw the weights around. Get your cardio in. Eat better. Drink less. Have fun. But you can maintain that look. And as far as Matthew McConaughey goes, I don't get that either. But I'm telling you, people stop me and go, "Hey, yo, McConaughey. Hey, you know who you look like?" "Yeah, I know. Matthew McConaughey." "Right." I'm like, "Not really." But I get that. I'm telling you, that's happened about 15 times. Never from dudes. But the ladies do. There are worse things. I mean, they could tell me I look like Wells. That would suck. Anyway, 1-800-636-8686. Let's try Vince in Maryland. Vince, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. How you doing today, my man?
Good, dude. You?
I'm doing fine, but here's my thing, and it's real quick. My beef is with the beefs. They just haven't been strong the past few segments. As you say, Jim, get in, get out. I'm out, brother.
My man. So, your take on the beefs is that the beefs suck. Because that made them better. That didn't help. I mean, he's not wrong. But that's not making it better. Come on. Come on. I'm pushing through it. Let me try this guy. Bo in Nashville. I've got a good feeling about this. I just do. I could be wrong, but I've got a good feeling about this. Bo, good to have you. Bo, what's your beef?
Jim, you know what my beef is, man. You my guy. I would never beef with you. And you know you got a good feeling when you call on me because you remember me, man. I no longer work at AT&T. I'm a dump truck driver now, Jim. So this is the thing. Fellas, when y'all call in the Jim Rome Show, the Jim Rome Show, man, y'all better bring some content, some delivery, some excitement, and some energy, man. The guy that was talking about the TSA agent with the hat cocked backwards when you over 30. Look, man, I'm over 30. I got braids, I got swag, and my shoe game is tight, and I got drip. So that let me know that you didn't walk that walk and talk that talk, and you wasn't that part. This other cat is talking about Jim Rome. Somebody said he looked like Matthew McConaughey. Jim ain't got that many grades, but he does. Hey, man, that's all I can say. You might need to step your sex game up because I know Jim Rome handling his business, man, so leave the great stuff alone. The other guy that was talking like he was hyperventilating, stop that, dude. Get your mind right. Pause. Chill. The other guy talking about the stop signs, something diagonally. Look, it lets me know you're from a little city. You got to come to Nashville, man. Broadway, where we had the biggest draft show ever. Live, man. We got diagonal crossing zones, man. You can walk how you want to walk. Step y'all game up. Jim, you my man. Abby, I love y'all. I'm flexing, and I'm out.
I love you, dude. Bo in Nashville. That's why I had a good feeling about Bo in Nashville. He nailed that. He said, you know why you have a good feeling about me, Jim Rome? Because you know me. You know what I'm about. You know what I bring to it. And he's right. He was right about everything he said. Bo, my guy, it's not your fault. I don't know what it is. If you had a cleaner signal, I would have watch-listed you right there on the spot based on your drip, based on your swag, based on your energy, based on your content, and based on you checking everybody else hard who calls this show. It was that good of a call. Loved it. My man, don't be a stranger. If I can get you a cleaner line, you're a watch-lister all day long because you can't teach what that guy has. I mean, my man could play his way into a golden ticket. He makes it better. That energy makes it way better, and you can't teach that. He's right. I love Bo said, I no longer work at AT&T. I'm driving a dump truck right now. My man, whatever you're doing it right. You're doing it well. I know you're bringing a certain energy to it. I do love him. I knew it. I love the way he jumped me like, man, you know why you feel good about me? Because I'm me, Jim Rome. You know why you feel good about Bo in Nashville? Because I'm Bo in Nashville. Hell yes, you are. The only thing missing from that was you know who the hell I am. Evil Knievel would have approved of that message. You know who the hell I am? Bo in Nashville.
You know who the hell I am?
That pumped me up. Great job, Bo. Appreciate you. I think we're done. All right, well, let's walk off on that. Why don't we walk off on that? That is your beef segment. You know what? It was not really one of our better ones, but that guy showing up the way he did. In fact, that's not respectful. Bo in Nashville showing up the way he did is going to give me some recency bias. And I'm going to think, you know what? That was a damn good beef segment because that's the last thing I heard and that's the last thing I'm going to remember. My man, thanks for picking me up. Appreciate you. All right, still ahead. I've got Drake London, Falcons wide receiver at 11:40. He's going to hit me on Zoom right after the show. Gerald McCoy. We're talking NFL with him. He is now recently retired. He's got takes, good takes. That's the Jim Rome podcast coming up after the show. Look for that, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
First, this thing. Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of the first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned doubled. The cash back from trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. I'm not going to say that was the best beef segment ever. But I will say that Old Trapper is the best beef jerky ever. I will say that. And I'll say that every damn day. Love them. Love the product. Love the fam. Love the company. Love everything about it. Love this segment. Just not today. It was all right. But you've done better. I expect more. All right, so a couple of quick heads ups. Drake London is going to join me next segment. Gerald McCoy is the Jim Rome podcast after the program. Looking ahead to tomorrow, Bruce Bochy is going to join us. Zaire Franklin is going to join us. I am going to have the Reinvention Project with Eric Musselman. And I know you've heard Mus on this program a number of times. You've even heard Mus on my podcast, the JR podcast, but not on the Reinvention Project. And Eric Musselman tells an amazing story. Great, great career arc about how when he was fired from the Sacramento Kings, he had to start over. I mean, he had to go back to the end of the line. Minor league basketball, coached in the Dominican Republic. I mean, like harsh elements. Had to start over completely. Went to the college game and not only had to become an assistant, but a second assistant. Like the way he rebuilt himself, his mind, his career, to be one of the best coaches in any sport is amazing. And he lays out the process, and we talk about it. So if you're one of those people who's kind of in a rut right now, and you're trying to figure out a way to break out of that rut, you're trying to find a way to break through, you're trying to find a way to improve yourself, get to the next level. The Reinvention Project is not for all of you, especially those of you who just want to talk junk and call people names. But if you want to improve, if you want to get better, if you want to level up, if you want to find the next gear, if you care about things like that and you're not sure how to do it, that podcast might be for you. I bring a lot of really interesting people on and I talk about the journey I'm on. So look for that wherever you get your podcasts. And my guest tomorrow is Eric Musselman. He and I have been having conversations for decades, but never quite like this one. And he and I were both pumped up when it was over. I know it's good because I've already done it. So look for that tomorrow. Look for Gerald McCoy after the show. And then look for Drake London next segment. And right now, you can look for a phone call or you can look for a sports update. What do you think, Tommy? Let's do a phone call. Yeah, there you go, Alvy. Thank you very much. Let's go to Philadelphia. John in Philly. Hey, John, what are you thinking about today? What's up?
Jim, how are you, buddy? Good to talk to you.
You too, dude.
I was listening to you talking about V and the fee the other day, and I was like trying to put my finger on what you were saying. You know, you like him. He's got energy. And then I realized what that feeling was, Jim. When I'm sitting on the toilet and I look over and I see that the toilet paper's all gone, that's the feeling I get when V and the fee comes on. Like, seriously? I can't believe this. And then to listen to Benny in Wisco, I will never, ever challenge that guy. But I will tell you, I will never be able to listen to him and not hear the Benny Hill theme. Sorry, it's always going to be there. And one last thing, Jim. I looked on the internet, and I typed in Jack Savage's name, and I got a used car salesman out here on the East Coast. Sorry, dude. I'm out.
I mean, John, I like you. You know I like you, but that's not going to get you back on the watch list. You can type in Jack Savage, and the internet can spit out whatever it wants. I'm telling you, the dude's a straight assassin, and he's killed people. It's not a question of whether or not he's killed people, but it's how many. I don't know. And it's not because he won't tell me. It's because I'm afraid to ask. I don't mess with Savage. Do you know how badass you have to be named Jack Savage? His parents knew that. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were sending a dude off into the world with the name Jack Savage. You can't be Jack Savage and have people walk all over you. I don't mess with them. So there might be a used car salesman in your area named Jack Savage, but there's a freaking assassin in my area, in my building. I don't mess with the dude. Like, I want to say that I'm in charge and I call the shots, but I know it's not true. Savage does. We all know that about Savage. Hey, John, you want to try him? You go right ahead.
Hey, John.
Help yourself. He's not hard to find. Jack Savage is not hard to find. All right, let's get out. Drake London joins me when we come back. Here's your sports update. You know what's key? You always want to close this show the right way. You want to finish strong, so that's what I intend to do right now. So what do? I find somebody who I know can finish and close the show. We're joined right now by a wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. He's entering his second season. He was selected number 8 overall in 2022. Of course, he played his college ball at USC. Last season, he set Falcons rookie records with 72 receptions. He had nearly 900 receiving yards. He had 4 touchdowns. The Falcons are going to open up their regular season by hosting Carolina on September 10th. We are joined via Zoom by Drake London. Drake, you're looking good, dude. How you feeling?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on.
Great to have you on. So let me ask you, there was so much hype and expectation of you coming out of college. Understandably so, you were electric. I'm curious, what was it like for your first year in the NFL? When you spend your whole lifetime working towards something, was it what you expected or were there some surprises?
Definitely some surprises here and there, but it was something that I expected for sure. This is not an easy sport. It's hard to get into the doors as it is. So it was definitely what I expected, but there were some surprises here and there.
Like, what was surprising to you? What was challenging for you? Like, things that always came kind of easily for you. What was different or challenging for you? What surprised you?
I think just the mental aspect of the game, to be honest. All the vets out there, they know what spot they're supposed to be in, so they can play with their mind more than their body. And that's what sets a lot of people apart.
Drake London joining us. I think that makes sense, right? You take some time to figure out the game and to slow the game down. I thought you had a really productive season. Like I mentioned, you set a Falcons rookie record with the 72 receptions, nearly 900 yards. You said recently that you thought that season was just decent. What do you mean by decent? What were your expectations for that first year?
My expectations were through the roof, you know. Being the competitive person that I am, I want to do everything for the team. So I would just say that my mentality going into last year was, you know, do everything I possibly could. I felt like I had a lot of hiccups, and there's still a lot left on the plate that I can go out there and I can finish.
We're talking to Drake London. You know, last year I thought was so interesting in terms of the receiver class. You had six wideouts taken in the first 20 picks. That was a record. I'm curious, like, you're worried about yourself. You're worried about your team. I understand that. Were you kind of looking out of the side of your eye, tracking other guys like Chris Olave and the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Garrett Wilson? Were you looking to see how they did and the kind of numbers they were putting up?
I mean, of course, I was looking at that. I mean, it's kind of in your face with new age social media all the time. But at the same time, I feel like our wide receiver class is very, very close. As just people we are. And I mean, I was rooting for them at the same time, and they're out there doing their thing. So I'm happy for them.
Hey, Drake, you're right. It is like the way new age media or new social media is, it is in your face. It's always in your face. It's hard to get away from. So I'm curious, how do you approach that? I mean, do you use that? Is it fuel? Or do you try and stay away from that and not let it distract you?
I mean, you can always use it as fuel, but at the same time, there's going to be negative and positive, and they could both have bad effects on you. So just keeping a level head and staying on the path that, you know, that I'm trying to go on, and not really let the outside noise, deteriorate me from my tracks.
I like what you just said, that it can be positive and it can be negative, and both can have negative effects on you. What's worse, somebody telling you how awesome you are all the time or somebody telling you you suck?
I'll probably have to go with how awesome you are. You could kind of get too big of a head and forget where you're at, where you came from, your humble groundings and things like that. If somebody says something negative, you could take that as fuel and up your game from there. But I'll probably say the positive things can kind of get to your head too much.
I like that. Drake London joining us. Let me ask you about your fellow rookie, Desmond Ridder. He started quarterback for the last four games of the year. Do you feel like you and he were able to get on the same page during that month? And then how do you make, or what do you make of the way he played?
Well, to his point of playing, I think he did a great job for the circumstances that he was put in, straight thrown into the fire at the end of the season. And he made his plays. He was being a leader. He was doing a great job. So that's what I'll say about that. And then the last question, sorry, I kind of forgot it.
Were you guys on the same page? What was it like to mesh with him in that limited time you had together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, since we came in here, we kind of started a connection there, and it just kept on growing over season, and it keeps on growing as today. And we're still working on things, working out kinks, and just trying to get better.
We're talking to Drake London. So, Drake, you were a top 10 pick, and then this year the team exercises another top 10 pick on running back Bijan Robinson. I keep saying it, but man, I love the guy. I love the guy as a player. I love the guy off the field, and I keep saying it over and over again, but I really do. What are your early impressions of Robinson, and then how much more dynamic do you expect the offense to be with a back as versatile as he is?
Yeah, I'll just go into the person that Bijan is first. That's what stood out to me the most. He's a humble guy. He has crazy work ethic, and he's just a people's person, you know? You could talk to him whenever you want, anything like that. And then when you get on the field, as you can see what we're watching right now, I mean, he's a beast. And what Coach Arthur Smith likes to preach is that we play positionless football. So wherever he's at, me, whoever's on the field, we're just going to try to play positionless football and be explosive.
Drake, you're a pro. I don't even think you realize what you just did. I love guests who reference video when we're running B-roll. That was a pro's pro move right there. Good job by you. You mentioned your head coach, Arthur Smith. You know, he's committed to the run last year. He is still. I'm always fascinated to see the new breed of head coach and how they relate to the new breed of players. You know, dudes like Mike McDaniel, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. What about Arthur Smith? A little bit different than the guys I just mentioned, but it seems to me he's got kind of this old school vibe with a new age approach. What's he like to play for?
Just physical, All the above, but at the same time, like you said, he has a new way of coaching people too. He didn't just come in and be like old school. At the same time, he knows how to get people to do his own players to be the best that they possibly can be. And that's what I've seen since the first day I've been in here.
Hey, Trick, where do you come out now? Like, as a younger guy, do coaches need to approach it differently? I mean, do you want to be coached hard all the time? And will that make you better? Or does that no longer work? And because times have changed, do these old school coaches have to change with the times? Like, what kind of a coach do you want to play for?
I think the coach that I want to play for and what coach tough love. I think that's the perfect way to put it. He's going to be hard on you, not going to really give you too many compliments, you know, but at the same time, he's going to let you know when you did that great job that you're doing good for the team.
I like it. Drake London joining us. So before you go, of course, you played your college ball at USC. You're a SoCal native. I understand the conference realignment is all the rage, and I know why. It's obvious, but I'm having a hard time still, even as somebody who grew up in Los Angeles myself, getting my head around the fact that USC and UCLA are going to be in the Big Ten after all this time. Does that seem weird to you at all?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I grew up watching the Pac since as long as I can remember, you know. I mean, I guess it's bigger and better things over there in the Big Ten. And I think we're ready to go over there and take what's ours.
It's going to be really interesting to see, really different. He's a wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. He was taken number 8 overall, had that good, good rookie season, although Drake, you said, was decent. Expecting huge things from you this coming year. It's good to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much. You look great.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate your time, Drake. Pro. Total pro. And an electric player. Big fan. So that's Drake London. I like the way he shows up, too. And I do love that. I get a kick out of that. I don't think he thought anything of that. But when you're on Zoom and you're doing an interview live and we're rolling B-roll and he just kind of casually said, as you can see right there with Bijan, that was a pro move right there. That was really smooth. You can't teach that. You cannot teach that. All right. So my thanks to Drake London and the Falcons. Another good Zoom call. I've got a little time for you on the back end. We've got Gerald McCoy coming up, and always one of my favorite guys to talk to. Great player. Great player who announced his retirement, and he's been making the rounds a bit and talking about the game and sharing his thoughts. I know he's going to be good. We've not done that yet. Sometimes I say to you, that's a really good pod. How do I know I've done it? I have not done that one yet, but I know that's going to be a really good pod, and I'm going to do it right after the show. Normally, we push that out on Wednesdays, but we're doing it today instead. So look for that. Another heads up for you. I want to make sure you're thinking Smack Off. It is Smack Off season. The Smack Off is June 30th. And you can't play your way in. Let's see here. Dear Jim, my wife and I took our son on a recent recruiting trip to Michigan, and we got to meet Coach Harbaugh. While Coach was making some small talk with my son, all I could think was, is this really the same guy who made the worst call in Smack Off history? When Coach finally turned to address my wife and I, the first idiotic words that flew out of my pie hole were, "Hi, Coach, great to meet you. Hey, what was that Smack Off call 20-something years ago? My wife was horrified. My son was confused. But then Coach Harbaugh lit up. He said, how do you remember that? Yeah, that was fun. Then he repeated his entire take word for word. He was such a fun guy and not anything like he is on TV. And although my son chose another school, we will always root for Coach Harbaugh. Bill and Gilbert." I don't know, dude. Is that true? How don't you expect me to believe that he didn't light me up when you asked him about that? If you can prove that somehow, some way, or is your son going to play football and major in creative writing? There's no way that Jim Harbaugh said, "How do you remember that?" and then recited the take word for word. There's no way that's true. Come on, dude. Stop making stuff up. Stop making stuff up. There's
no way.
Tell
that clone to get a life.
Dear Jim, we're done. No, we're just done. I'm gonna walk off on that lie. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices, and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Normally I start off by thanking people. Today, no thanks to you clones. You lied, your beef sucked. Come on, do better.
You're a liar.
We all have bad days. I'm going to give you that one. Do better tomorrow. My thanks to Drake London. He had a good day. Tony Luffman had a great day. He always does. My thanks to the XR4TI. See you tomorrow. We're out.